I'm going to preach this evening on the Christian life, just a basic kind of sermon, and we'll have you turn a lot, so hope you have your Bibles, and it's going to almost be like a sword drill. There are many ways to describe the Christian life, and oftentimes in the Bible it's described as a walk, and you've probably noticed that. And sometimes it's described as a fight. Oftentimes, the Apostle Paul called it a warfare, and he said that we should put on the whole armor of God. And he told us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're spiritual. He told his son in the faith, Timothy, to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. But tonight I want us to look at just four aspects of the Christian life, and I guess maybe if I could title this message, I could give it the name From Start to Finish. From Start to Finish. The first point is going to be faith in Christ. The second is fellowship with Christ. The third is faithfulness to Christ. And the last will be fruitfulness for Christ. So if you would please take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And if you listen real fast, we won't be here very long. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There has to be a beginning in the Christian life. In other words, you weren't born a Christian. There has to be a beginning. If your testimony tonight is, "Well, I've always been a Christian," you're not a Christian. You have not always been a Christian. You may have been raised in a Christian home. You may have even been dedicated as a baby. But there had to be a time in your life where you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us here, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Faith in Christ, through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We're not working for our salvation, are we? It is a gift of God. So there has to be a beginning in this faith in Christ. Have you had a beginning? That's the question tonight. Do you remember the time? Is there a period in your life? You might not be able to remember the exact date. You may look back on it. It may be when you were a young person, younger than some of you young people. And you may have, like they were talking about the young people that were saved in Peru, third graders. Well, you know, when you get to be my age, you may not remember all that happened in the third grade all that well. But can you look back on your life and say, "There was a time when I put my faith in Jesus Christ"? I'm glad to hear of children being saved. We have to come to Christ as a child. And children don't have a lot of baggage to bring along with them. They don't have a lot of questions. They simply just trust Christ. And I think we could learn from that. So we see here that there's a beginning, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Now turn over to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I don't hear the leaves rustling. Romans chapter 4. And if you got an electronic Bible, I probably couldn't hear it, could I? No. Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. One of these days, I'd like to have a big screen up here, and you just look at it. But that'd be lazy, wouldn't it? But it would be neat. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." We're ungodly, but when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, his righteousness is imputed to us. It's placed on us. So when God looks at us because we have put our faith in Christ, He sees us as holy. He sees us as righteous, not because we are, but because His Son is, and we have trusted His Son. So faith in Christ, there's a beginning in the Christian life. There's always a beginning. Four times the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't be good and go to heaven. You can't do good deeds and go to heaven. You can't be a good neighbor. You can't get along with, you know, a lot of times people say, if you ask them if they're saved, they'll say, well, I try to be a good person. Well, that's not good enough, is it? And by the way, you're not a good person. The Bible tells us that we're not good people. The Bible tells us that we're lost sinners and undone and we need Jesus Christ. So the first thing is faith in Christ. The second thing is fellowship with Christ. I want to tell you this evening, it's a real relationship. Knowing Jesus Christ is a real relationship. In John chapter 14, if you would, please turn over there, verse 21. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, and verse 21. I'll tell you the truth, I was studying this out. I had never really paid too much particular attention to this verse, but this is a very important verse as far as our relationship to Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 21, he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. You see here, if we will walk with God in a way that be pleasing to God, if we keep his commandments, if we seek to know him, he will make himself known to us. He will manifest himself to us. In other words, I'm trying to tell you a little bit what I was trying to tell you this morning, though I've seen to myself I failed to do that, but I was trying to tell you you can know God. You can know God. You can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I think we should seek to do that. In other words, you should have a fellowship. There should be a fellowship between you and God, and we should strive for that. We should work toward that. Jesus said here, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. How do you know if you love God, you want to keep his commandments? The Bible says his commandments are not grievous. You know, you don't like, oh man, I gotta try to do right. No, that's not the, if you love the Lord, you'll want to do right. You want to try to do right because you love him. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. In other words, the closer we draw to God, the closer he'll draw to us. If we move closer to him, he'll move closer to us. It's not just something's going to happen. I guess what I'm trying to tell you is, if I can tell you in a practical way, you might have to turn the TV off. You might have to turn the cell phone off. You may have to turn the computer off. You may have to put the novel down or whatever it is you're doing and spend some time with God if you want to know him. And in Revelation chapter 3, I quoted this verse a little bit this morning. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Jesus here was talking to the church of Laodicea, and it had left its first love. It had a reputation. They thought they were doing well, but the Bible says Jesus told them, he said, you're poor and you're blind and you're naked. You're a mess. He said, but behold, I stand at the door. And I believe there's a lot of Christians today and a lot of churches today that the Lord would like to get close to. I think he'd like to restore fellowship back with a lot of folks. And he says, I will come in. I will come in. And we'll sup with him and he with me. In the Eastern culture, that supper time, that supper time, was a very important time of fellowship. You know what? It used to be in this country that people would spend the dinner time around the dinner table talking, you know. And we've tried to do that in our home. I didn't allow the kids to grab a plate and go sit and watch TV while we were eating. We sat around the dinner table and we talked to one another and enjoyed the fellowship of one another. I know that just seems like a small thing, but I think it's an important thing, and I think it's lacking in our culture today. But Jesus said, if you'll open the door, I'll come in and sup with you. So we need fellowship with Christ, do we not? You got to have faith in Christ. That's the beginning, but then you got to have fellowship with Christ. So these two things are important in the Christian life. But then I want to say we need faithfulness to Christ. Faithfulness to Christ. The Christian life is it's for the long haul. There's a lot of people start out and then quit, don't they? There's a lot of people start out good and then you look back and they're gone. We need to be faithful. And I know I'm preaching to the choir this evening. You guys are here. You're faithful. But we need to remain faithful. You need to keep going. Chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 45. Matthew chapter 24 verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. You know, the Lord here is saying he wants somebody that is faithful. A servant. We are the servants of Jesus Christ, and we need to be faithful. The Lord is looking for somebody who, when he returns, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're to be faithful. And you know what? It's not without reward. Jesus indicates here that he's going to make this person ruler over all his goods. In other words, if we're faithful in life, I believe the Lord is going to reward our Christian life for its faithfulness. Or we'll have a lack of rewards for our unfaithfulness. You know, not everybody in heaven is going to have the same rewards. Not everybody in heaven is going to have the same rewards. I don't preach much on rewards. I'm a little nervous about putting a lot of emphasis on that. I think we ought to serve Christ just because who he is. But you know what? Not only do we get heaven, we get rewards. We get rewards. So it's important that we are faithful. It's important that we're faithful for our family's sake. It's important that we're faithful for these young people's sake. It's important that we're faithful for our neighbors. And your neighbor may not notice much about you, but if your car's sitting in the driveway Sunday morning, I bet they notice that. I bet they take note of that. You'd be surprised. Even though they probably have no interest in church at all, maybe, they'll wonder why you weren't there. They know that a Christian is supposed to be faithful. So we need to be faithful. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And let's look at verse 23. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and verse 23. Well, let's just look at verse 22. I'm sorry. Let us draw near. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. I just want to make a comment right there. The Bible tells us to hold fast the profession of our faith. You've got a profession of faith, I hope. I hope here tonight, as my high school teacher used to say, I'm looking at every one of you in your God-given eyeball. I'm hoping every one of you tonight have a profession of faith. I hope there's a time in your life when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But you know what? We need to hold fast that profession of faith. And then the apostle tells us why. He says, for he is faithful. He is faithful that promised. I say that because I'm not keeping myself saved. He saved me. He's saving me. And he is the one, not me. He's the one. So I can hold fast my profession, not because of me, because I fail him quite often. I can hold fast my profession because of him. If you want to, you say, sometimes I doubt my salvation. Well, if you're looking to the wrong person, it's no wonder. Don't look to yourself, look to him. Look to him. He's the one who's promised. If you've placed your faith in him, he's the one who's holding you. Faithful. We're not always faithful. Aren't you glad he's always faithful? He's always faithful. So, and then verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know what, folks? We need to help each other. This world is getting crazier by the moment. And there's things coming down the road that doesn't look too good to me. We need to encourage one another, provoke one another. We need to love one another. As brothers and sisters in Christ, as church family, the Bible tells us here that we need to consider one another and provoke. You know, a lot of times we provoke each other in wrong ways, don't we? We provoke each other in the wrong way. But we are to provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to be faithful to the house of God. I don't know if I can emphasize that enough. If you want to grow in the Lord and gain strength in your Christian life, you need to be faithful to the house of God. I know you can be a Christian and not be faithful, but listen, you'll be a better Christian if you're faithful. You'll be a better Christian if you're faithful to the house of God. And you say, if you're here tonight and in your mind you're thinking, well, I don't like, you're boring, preacher, or whatever. Well, I'll tell you what, you come up and talk to me after the service and we'll figure out something for you to do. Amen? We'll give you something you can take part. I'll be honest with you. I wish all of you here, I wish you'd come up to me and say, preacher, can we do this? Or preacher, do you want to do this? Or preacher, what do you think about this? I like that. I don't have a bit of problem with that. I want to make church interesting. I want to make it to where you find something that you like to do. I don't want to use entertainment. The church is not entertainment. But but at the same time, I want you to feel like you're a part. There's lots of ways to minister, isn't there? There's lots of ways to minister, and I'm open to suggestions. Jonathan, I've been wanting to get with him and spend a day with him, really. But I don't want to leave Melissa alone with them two boys and one on the way while he and I are just sitting around drinking coffee and talking all day. But I'd like to ask him some questions because he's been in some different churches and his dad's a pastor and he's got some ideas. I'd like to hear about them. I'm looking for that. I am. I'm looking for that. But you know what? We need to provoke one another. We need to be faithful and provoke each other to good works and to love. We need to be faithful. Then the last point. I told you this was going to go quick. The last point is we need to be fruitful. We need to have faith in Christ. You have to have a starting point. You need to have your fellowship. You need some time with God. You need to spend time with God. You need to get to know God. And then you need faithfulness. It's tempting to quit sometimes, isn't it? It is. And you know what? If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit living inside of me, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ working in me and helping me, I'd have quit 100 times. I'd have quit 100 times by now. Can y'all relate to what I'm saying? But you know what? He won't let me quit. He just keeps me going. Amen. keeps me going. Fruitfulness for Christ. By the grace of God, I hope I go to the end. I hope I do. I hope I make it until the end. Till they lay me in that nice wooden box with the nice satin lining. Y'all walk around and say, oh, he looks so natural. That's what I hope. Fruitfulness for Christ. You know, fruit bearing is a mark or a proof of salvation. Fruit bearing is a mark or a proof of salvation. Jesus said that the tree is known by his fruit. The tree is known by his fruit. Turn to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. And look at verse 6. Luke chapter 13 and verse 6. He spake this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. I believe this is a picture of a profession of knowing Jesus Christ, a Christian, at least in name. He says he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. I believe this is a warning to Christians. I believe this is a warning to us that we need to bear fruit. There ought to be some fruit in your Christian life. After a while, there ought to be, I've fooled with fruit trees a little bit, and you buy a fruit tree down at the Lowe's or Home Depot and bring it home, it's probably not going to bear fruit the first year. It might bear some fruit the second year. What I'm telling you is even in Christians, it takes a while to bear fruit, but there should be some fruit. And this parable that Jesus gives says, if there's no fruit, why cumbereth it the ground? My dad used to say they'd catch some guy who maybe was a serial killer or maybe had raped a bunch of women and killed them. And my dad would say he's taking up good oxygen. Why cumbereth it the ground? My dad wasn't, he's still not. He's not exactly very sympathetic to people like that. So if I get a little mean sometimes, I get it natural from him. But the Lord says in this parable, he says, why is this? I wonder, I don't know. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I didn't even look at the commentaries. But I wonder if the Lord means here that if we're a Christian and we don't produce any fruit in our lives, I'm wondering if he might just take us home eventually. I'm wondering if that is that what that means? It could, I think. I guess what I'm trying to tell you is we need to be fruitful. We need to be fruitful. And then John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 5. John chapter 15. You know, your life touches those around you. And you might be thinking tonight, well, I'm not a preacher. Okay. But you've got people that you influence. You've got family and friends and people, acquaintances. You've got people that you need to be bearing some fruit out there. All of us do. In John chapter 15 and verse 5, the Bible says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. See, again, this has to do with our fellowship also. If we'll abide in him and he'll abide in us, that vine, that branch, it gets nutrients, doesn't it? From the root. We need to abide in Christ. And if we do, we'll bear much fruit. We'll bear much fruit. And we need to understand what the Lord said in that last phrase. Without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. In verse 8, it says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. It's no small thing, folks, this fruit-bearing thing. It's no small thing. We need to be bearing fruit. And when I say bearing fruit, I mean, I'm talking about primarily the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, but I'm also talking about we need to be winning souls. We need to be telling other people about Christ. We need to be witnessing every opportunity in any way we can. That's one of the ways that we can bear fruit. So we need to have fruitfulness for Christ. And then in John chapter 12, verse 24, just a couple pages back, John chapter 12, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it, unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. I thought of this verse, of course, the Lord, I'm sure, was referring to his crucifixion in some regards, but I also think he's talking about our life as a Christian. In other words, I think our Lord here is telling us that we need to die. We need to die to self. We need to die to our wants. We need to die to what we want to do. Most of us have eye trouble. I want to do this. And really, we need to die to self, do we not? We are, except that corn of wheat falling to the ground. Have you ever, those of you fooled around with the garden any, have you ever picked up a little seed that has broke open out of the corn, out of the kernel? And there's a little green shoot. That kernel of corn has split wide open. Or whatever it was, that bean seed or that wheat or whatever. It's split wide open and there's a little green shoot coming out of that. That kernel had to die first. If we're going to produce fruit, if we're going to be fruitful, we're going to have to die first. We're going to have to die first. I don't know. No, I don't have it here, but there's a little poem entitled "I Must Die." I think it was written by Amy Carmichael. But I'm just trying to tell you this evening, you're gonna have to die. You're gonna have to die. You're gonna have to, if you want to produce some fruit, you're gonna have to put aside what you want and do what He wants. You're gonna have to do what He wants. So, fruit bearing. Jesus said, "He that loveth his life shall lose it." What's that mean? Does that mean God's going to send a lightning bolt and kill you? No, that's not what it means. That's not what the Lord's talking about here. What He's talking about is, He explains Himself. He said, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life." See, a Christian is to be looking to the future. The Christian's not building on this ground. The Christian is sending stuff ahead. Isn't that right? We're laying up our treasures where moth and thieves and rust can't get to it. So how do we do that? Well, for one reason, you're going to have to not think so much of this life here and look to the future. Where are you looking tonight? I'm quitting. But you know, every sermon's supposed to have a challenge in it. I'm challenging you tonight. I'm asking you, where are you looking? The great awakening preacher Jonathan Edwards said, "Lord, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. When I see someone, let me see eternity. When I look out here, let me see eternity. Everywhere I look, let me see eternity." Because that's where we're going, isn't it? That's where we're going. Thank you for your attention this evening. Please stand.